Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Matthew 16, verses 5 through 12. And when his disciples had come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, Take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread? Do ye not understand nor remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and of how many baskets you took up? Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it not unto you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them not to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Friend, Jesus gave many warnings to his disciples, and this was one of them. The disciples had not brought bread with them, and because of this they at first misunderstood his warning. He was not speaking of literal bread. He reminded them of the occasions when with little he had fed many. That of which he warned was the doctrine or the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. The most prominent idea associated with leaven, of course, is corruption and its ability to penetrate. Leaven can penetrate and diffuse itself, changing the particles with which it comes in contact into its own nature. It was such properties of leaven to which Jesus points when he speaks of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the corrupt doctrines, the false doctrines, the powers to secretly penetrate and contaminate, causing fermentation of the whole of mankind, is that to which Jesus addressed himself. And why did the Lord warn of their teaching? It was because much of what they had to say was just wrong. It was twisted and destructive and harmful to man's spirit. It was not beneficial. It was contrary to the truth of the Lord, consisting of sprinklings of truth, but corrupted by the inclusion of the doctrines of men. Jesus said in Matthew 15:7-9, Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now the Pharisees would also teach a misrepresentation of the letter to the disregard and violation of the spirit and the intent of the law. At other times, they manifested a gross misunderstanding of the law altogether, both letter and spirit. The Pharisees and Sadducees taught many errors that were characteristic of their day, but many of the same errors in principle are being taught now. If Christ's followers needed this warning then, it stands to reason that they need it now. If the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees would have corrupted then, will it do less now? 1 John 4 and verse 1 admonishes, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 21, Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. One of the errors of the Pharisees and the Sadducees was making laws where God had not made them, and allowing laws that God had made to be ignored in favor of their own. Matthew 15, verse 2, Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, Jesus was asked, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? Now it's good hygiene for one to wash hands before meals, but these people had made it a religious law, a religious rite to be observed as if it had been directed by God. They made that custom a law as if it was on an equality with the laws that God has made. Jesus didn't have any objection to their custom, per se. except when they tried to bind it upon others as if it came from God. So long as their customs violated no law, he found no fault with them. But they assumed authority to make laws where God had not done so. Well, that attempt is still made today regarding customs and expediences involving human judgments. Even the church has been divided at times by those who have attempted to bind a certain method for caring for orphans, or how weddings are to be conducted, or how buildings can be used, as well as laws forbidding Bible classes and using more than one container at the Lord's Supper, and forbidding the use of all human literature in study. All of this is akin to the leaven against which Christ warned. And they would also go from one extreme to another, insisting on their customs and traditions even if it meant violating God's law. Again from Matthew 15. But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. This have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Now these people were supposed to give to the work of the Lord, but they were also to provide for their parents. It was not one or the other, but both obligations were upon them. But they did not provide for their parents, because they said everything had been given as a gift to God. They ignored God's directions, loosing what he had bound. And this is a liberalistic attitude, just as wrong as the era of human legalism. This era is still very much in dominance and prominence today. For instance, God has bound the kind of music Christians are to offer in praise to him. We're taught to sing. Well, some prefer to add another kind of music with instruments. And so they take the liberty of adding to what God has said and following their own wishes, loosing what God has bound in order to do what they want and what they think will be all right anyway. Does God show us that usurping his authority is sinful? Indeed, he does. Do we have the right to be presumptuous? Indeed, we do not. Neither preacher, nor elder, nor deacon, nor member, or anybody has such a right before God. God does not allow women to teach and preach and usurp authority over man. Now, some don't like this rule. Religions are changing according to the feminist folly. Some want to do their own thing. Is this not loosing what God has bound? God says baptism is a burial, Romans 6, 3 and 4, Colossians 2 and verse 12. Why do some contend that sprinkling and pouring is just as proper as what God has taught? This is simply another example of making the commandment of God of none effect. Many examples are there of men taking unwarranted and unauthorized liberties. Just because we may want something or like something does not mean that it has God's approval and God's acceptance. Another matter where Jesus condemned the Pharisees was their unwillingness to be satisfied with the revelation God had given. In the Old Testament, we read of many prophecies that foretold the times of Jesus Christ. Ample evidence was provided whereby they should have recognized him as the promised Messiah. And even when revealed signs by which they could identify him and the coming of the kingdom were there, they rejected him. That wasn't sufficient for them. They were ever clamoring for more signs, more evidence, more proof, something they dictated rather than what God revealed. And if they refused to believe on the basis of the evidence that God provided, you wonder if they had believed if God had even provided more evidence. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And by such words our Lord spoke of his forthcoming death, burial, and resurrection. But you see, to those people, more signs were requested. No number of signs would have satisfied them. And many today are malcontent with the revelation God has given. They clamor for more. They even claim to receive more than God's all-sufficient Scripture. They collect catechisms and edicts of councils. They heap to themselves disciplines and manuals and prayer books and creeds of various sorts and special visions and latter-day revelations. They accumulate their own experiences and feelings. We often hear people talk about God coming to them and telling them something that nobody else has ever heard, seeing things from God that nobody else ever saw. Such are the claims of Joseph Smith and Mary Baker Eddy and the Roman Pope and Pentecostals and many others. In view of the several assertions in the Bible of its own sufficiency, and that the full revelation has long ago been completed, we wonder why some will not take God at his word and simply take the word he has given. The Sadducees, somewhat different from the Pharisees, they denied the resurrection, Matthew 22 and verse 23. They, like some now, contend that this earthly life is all there is to man's existence. And they accounted partially for their immoralities. For why should one be moral, friend, when they do not have to give an account to anyone about anything? If there is no heaven or hell, no spirit of man, no life after this, man being nothing more than a highly evolved animal, as our youth are being taught in all levels of education and entertainment, what reason is there for anything, since it all amounts to nothing anyhow? Atheist, humanist, materialist, like communists, even Jehovah's Witnesses, they all tell you there's no heaven or hell. Evil men either cease to exist upon physical death, they say, or probably all men, good or evil, simply cease to exist, depending upon which group of truth deniers you have in mind. What difference is there between those today who deny the resurrection and life after death and those who made the same denial in years past? Since Christ taught that their doctrine was corrupt then, is it not equally corrupt now? An outstanding characteristic of the Pharisees and Sadducees was their earnest desire to be religious, but they were careless about being righteous. Israel constantly had this problem among the people. There were those in Jesus' day who loved to parade their piety and religion in a showy way to be seen of men. Oh, they would pray on the street corners, they would paint their faces as if they were fasting. They wore special garments to indicate they were religious. They had special titles. They received special greeting, Matthew chapter 23, 5 through 7. Do such things sound familiar and modern and up to date? Do we not see that around us today? Tell me, wherein is the difference between what those people did back then and what we see all about us today? Consider the glorious title of the clergyman in which they boast. Look at the special garb that many of them wear, and they get up to preach with their long flowing robes where everybody will know they are a man of God. Listen to the public displays before others as they parade themselves as pious. Well, this was called hypocrisy then. What is it now? But the same thing. Cannot we see that there is as much reason for us to beware of the leaven of false doctrines and practices as it was for the early disciples? When Jesus condemned such things of the Pharisees and Sadducees, the disciples, when they heard it, said, "Knowest thou what the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" Wait just a minute. Do you mean to suggest that Jesus offended some people by what he taught? Well, the scriptures say that he did. But is it not always unloving to offend? Well, evidently Jesus didn't think so. Did he run and apologize to these sinners? Or did he seek opportunity to tone down his teaching or even change it if it would be more acceptable? Well, I don't read that he did any of that, do you? Some today would advise this of every preacher. But Jesus did not say he was sorry that he had told them the truth that they needed to hear. Jesus did not deliberately seek to offend anyone, but the truth he preached was often offensive to those who loved their own ways more than truth. Christ chose to warn of the destruction of sin rather than soothe and just get along with those in error. He had sufficient love and strength and faith and courage to say what was needed, even when it might not be well received nor even wanted. This was greater love than if he had compromised. His response on being advised that he had offended some was simply this: "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the pit." Jesus identified his accusers for what they were. They were blind leaders. He announced what their eternity would be. He warned his disciples to have no part with them and not be counted among them. So let us learn this great warning from Jesus to take heed of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Let us take heed that we note the religious error around us that smacks of the same stripe as the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and rather than being poisoned spiritually by it, friend, let us feed on the bread of life that we may live. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.